Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, your volunteer for the day, part of the Social Podcast Network. Find all of our podcasts at www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out. All of our local podcasters podcasting locally. Interesting. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Another day. How are we doing? Got some amazing coffee from the Nook next door. Well, I just went over next door. A lot of sad faces. I don't know about your world, but if it's anything like our world, they're starting to talk about shutting everything down. Ugh. Very interesting. Part of me is like, shut it down. Like, go for a little break. My wife's like, I'm going to have to take a leave of absence. You know, because if they shut the... do you mind if I rant for a minute? My God, here it goes. They're talking about shutting down the schools. I own my own business. What happens when, or what happened, was that everything got shut down. The schools got shut down. We were all at home. And then they opened up some small businesses, like my salon, which is a very small salon, so it was able to reopen. And then you know what happens? All of a sudden, I got to take the kids to school with me. I mean, to work with me. That is a fucking drag, people. I mean, I love my kids. It's fantastic. I mean, I'm grateful, but ugh. I didn't realize how hard it was on me to do that until they went back to school, and then I was like, oh, because yeah, listen, I'm getting a little old. You know, I need a little break, and you know, it's when you have kids, especially at my age, 52, with an 8 and 9 and a 15-year-old, they never stop. And school is a nice break, or going to work is a nice break. So now they're talking about shutting down the schools, blah, 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 shutting down businesses. I don't know. It's so strange. You know, it is like my world is unaffected. It has been unaffected. Now, I'm surrounded by people affected. So in the end, I am affected. But like, I'm not, like, my business isn't turning out positive cases of the coronavirus. Like, we haven't had any. I shared about the guy that came into the bathroom and that used the restroom at the salon and then called me and said, listen, I tested positive. I told you that my wife and I went and got tested. We tested negative. Everything is great. But the other thing is bizarre this morning is that the Walgreens by my house, there is a line of cars wrapping around the parking lot. I would have to say it is 40 cars in line to get COVID tested at the drive-thru. There's another place. There's a place where my wife and I went. We got right in. But there's this line around the Walgreens every day of like 40 or 50 cars. I mean, that's a whole thing. I will say that when my wife and I had tested... when the guy called me and told me that he had tested positive, it was the only thing that was on my mind was getting tested. So I do get it. But there's other testing places. I don't understand why people aren't using this other spot right here with nobody at it. I mean, they took insurance. I don't know. It was fine. I don't know. It's not. I was on my way to work. I did not even want to talk about this, but I just got coffee from the Nook next door, and the girl's like, "We're finding out at 1 o'clock if we all get shut down." Unfortunately, it's not this little restaurant that's probably creating the problem. It's not my little salon that's probably creating the problem. It's probably people having these events, bars. Big restaurants, and listen, big restaurant people, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. But fuck, I know that back in my day when I was drinking, I didn't follow any rules. Any. If I did, maybe I wouldn't be sober today. Maybe I could still have a career in drinking, but I drink, I don't follow any rules. When we got tested the other day, the lady told us that the definition of being exposed is to be around somebody within 6 feet for longer than 15 minutes. Meaning I need to sit next to someone that has the coronavirus in a 6 foot radius inside of it for 15 minutes or longer. I don't do that at all. I do that with clients, but you know, we're all wearing masks. We're all supposedly good to go. But it is weird how there is a like this group of people that come in the salon. They're like, do I have to wear this? I'm like, yes, you have to wear it. I mean, the whole fucking, every day, all day, 24 hours a day, people are saying, wear your masks. And then they come in my salon. They're like, do I have to wear my mask? I'm like, yes. Jesus. I mean, what do they care, right? But we haven't had any cases. The cases are happening in bars. And that's a problem. That is a problem. So we'll see what's going to happen. You know, wear your mask. I don't know. Everything is all fucking crazy right now. Everything is all crazy. My whole calendar, my whole clock, my whole feng shui is fucking twisted. You know? I'm a little out of sorts. I'm a little out of sorts, but whatever. We'll make it. I have something to seriously talk about. I think. Thank you, Dave, for that little reminder. Some people do, and some people definitely do not. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I've talked about it before, but, you know, success, redefining success for me. I grew up in, and it's weird as a parent of kids, and you see these, like, little pitfalls that you can fall into. That if fallen into can clearly create, I think, a different kind of child, a different kind of person. It all starts with like homework and in elementary school, and you know, and it's understanding what part I'm playing and what part my child is playing. How much do I want to be involved in creating an amazing kid, or can I sit back and watch my kid become an amazing kid, or the kid they want to be, and maybe I need to stay out of it? What's our worry? You know, we don't want to create a what? A drug addict or a thief or a bum or a, I don't know. Some of these things I'm not sure you can create. I think some of this shit is just built into us. I think we're all built in with some of that ego. I mean, that's how we survive. It's how we move forward. Taking care of ourselves. Putting ourselves first. It's a survival technique. I mean, I get it. It's not the end of the world to think of yourself. But I do think that there are some people that find themselves pretty awesome. More than others. And but as a parent of kids, you know, when it comes to this homework and my parents, and I've said it, they did all my work, really. They did everything. I just signed it. And I'm exaggerating, but it felt like it. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have finished it. But that was kind of how we started off the relationship. But in the end, I turned out fine. I mean, 52 years later, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. Now, it was a fucking bumpy road. But I know that when, you know, back in my day, my early days, my successes and failures were different than others, I think. My successes, I think, were based on how much my parents helped me. And my failures were based on how much I avoided getting help from my parents. I mean, it used to be like, you went to school? Oh my God, congratulations. Like, they redefined success in their story way down low. Way down. You actually didn't skip school today? Oh my God, party. So it seemed like all of my successes that I took as I started to grow up were very low. I couldn't find a job. A few things happened to me as a young person. I got a girlfriend early. I found pot and I decided to grow out my hair. Three strikes against me. Maybe not as much as a girlfriend, but she consumed my ass big time. My fault, not hers. But between skipping school to hang out with her, chasing to find weed, and growing out my hair, all these things didn't really go well as far as me finding a job. So that's the, you know, I couldn't find a job. My parents, you know, need a job. Couldn't find one. You got a job at Arby's? Yes. Yes, I got a job at Arby's. Tucked all my hair up in it. Got a job at Taco Bell. The hair was always an issue. You need to cut your hair. Like, I didn't grow up in the 60s. I grew up in the 80s. For all you guys out there with long hair that have jobs, thank me. I did the groundwork for you. I got fired and turned down so many times. I got sick of turning down people and started letting people with long hair like yourselves get jobs. But the point of it, the whole thing, was I just didn't have a lot of successes in my life. And when I got sober, man, when I got sober, just the world just changed for me. The world changed. The bar rose. The successes came fast and furious. It's amazing that in my addiction during that time, I felt like no one really knew what was going on. But it was written all over my face. It was written on how I dressed. It was written on how I lived. It's written on how I take care of my car. You meet people that are struggling with drugs and addiction. Maybe they put down the drink to get a little time, but their car is a fucking disgusting wreck. Is that important? Is that sobriety? I remember I was just about a year sober, and I decided I wanted to go get an education all of a sudden, you know. Like all the time before this, I couldn't scrape together a semester of decent schooling. And then I get sober and I'm just like chomping at the bit to get better. Catch up. I got to catch up. I want to be all of a sudden I started caring about myself. And I, you know, I went to school and got a week's of schooling done. And oh, my God, a huge success. Oh, my God. Amazing, Tom. Great job. Parents probably told me that. But everything in my life up until this point was always had this cloud over it. Like any small successes, like, oh, my God, you went to school today. It was probably going to be followed up by, oh, you ditched school the next day. Like my successes were short and far and few between. So getting sober and starting to get an education and then starting to get a career started to feel good. I mean, so good. I mean, so good that I forgot about where I'd come from. I had forgotten about where I'd come from. But always in the back of my mind thinking, when is this all going to fall apart? Because that's how my life goes. I don't know. I think that, you know, if it wasn't for people like my friend Matt, you know, it's great to, you know, anybody out there that's struggling with addiction and, you know, thinking about trying to get sober or getting involved in a program, get a sponsor. Get a sponsor. And really, really just open up your freaking heart and mind. Surrender. Because sponsors, people that are, have some time that are decent in this program, in a program, can be of huge help. I've used the example before. It's like going to New York City by yourself and just driving up there. And then, you know, what are you going to obviously do? Probably go see like the Statue of Liberty, maybe the Empire State Building, Rockefeller, maybe the 9/11, where the towers were, maybe those five things. But if you go up there with somebody that lives in the city, you see the great nuances of the city, the back streets, the small businesses. The real backbone of a city. The cool parks. You know, people with some experience can share this stuff with you. And it's the same thing with a 12-step program and a sponsor. Ego shows up. Start being bossed around. You get a little sobriety under your belt. All of a sudden, you're special. Get annoyed by other people and what they have to tell you. Put that all beside, just take behind you and just listen and take in the words. Because if it wasn't for my sponsor, Matt, I don't know if I would have this business because at the time I just didn't know. I didn't have the confidence. He said, "You want to open a salon?" I said, "I do." He goes, picked up the phone, dialed somebody. He goes, "All right, go meet him right now. You have a meeting with this person about getting a loan." I'm like, oh. I wouldn't have made the phone call. I wouldn't have set up the meeting. But he also knew that I had, you know, I'd been working at this. You know, it wasn't, you know, I didn't get sober and the next day I opened a small business. Not everything is a success. And honestly, I don't think the best parts of my life have come from success. I think the best parts of my life, the growth, the miracles have come from failure. But that's not what we're taught. Failure bad, success good. Success self, failure growth. Maybe. I mean, it's a lot. You know, getting fired because you're late. you know, there's a lot of room for growth there if you decide to start being on time, if you take something from that. But if you get fired for being late and you continue to be late, you've really missed the opportunity to learn from a real growing experience. Now my failures and successes are within my kids and my family, and you know, it's also tough raising a 15-year-old because they are figuring it out. They're right in the middle of their journey, figuring it out. And here I come. Oh, man, it's I guess this is what creates separation from us and our children. Because if they were just, you know, all ears, all the time, whatever you say goes, they'd probably live with us forever. They'd never leave. But they have their own ideas. And mine are starting to become old ideas. And I can feel the tension, but not a bad tension, but I can feel the beginnings of the separation. You know, so that when my child is 18, 19, 20, he's ready to head out. He loves me. But he's got to go. And if it was so great, I wouldn't want him to. But the tension helps me help him want to go. And he's only 15. He's not going anywhere. But, you know, I see it. And I have to have restraint from my mouth. I just have to let him be him. However that looks. And he's a great kid. So all the work that I've done up until this point has, I think, paid off. And the work that I've done up until this point is pretty much no work at all, besides, you know, feeding and clothing and providing a place to live. We've never helped with homework. A little. One reason, I just don't think it helps him. And the other is I don't really understand it. I think that's by design as well. We'll show them, parents. You know, we should have had some crazy math when I was a kid, because my parents knew exactly how to do the math back then, and they did it for me. But today, there is no helping. I mean, there really isn't a lot of room to help, because the fact is that these teachers want this math done a certain way, and I don't know how to do it. And anything other than what they were taught that day in class clearly shows parent help. And you're busted. You're busted. It's pretty funny. I think the biggest thing for me is getting sober was trying to reset me, right? Who am I? I mean, my line of success, my expectations of myself were very, 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 very low. Because I was, you know, I was living a life of self, and it was obvious. You know, I think at some point you just want to wake up. I hope I just wake up. It's all you can ask for. You deserve nothing other than maybe waking up. So trying to figure out who I am, because I'm not fucking crashing cars and being an asshole anymore, at least not that much, I have to start giving myself a little more credit. But also at the same time, understanding that it's one day at a time. Take it easy. Chill out. You're not amazing. I always say, don't confuse normal with amazing. We like to do that early in the recovery. I didn't drink today. Yeah, well, you shouldn't have drank it in the first place. No kudos to you for that. It's funny, the first time I got sober, I was like that. Kind of. But, you know, I was very proud of my daily achievements. And then drinking after 4 or 5 years and doing all the shit that I did in my first 5 years of sobriety, realized the second time that I did it, I didn't have to talk about it. In fact, I kind of went to the other extreme where I didn't want to celebrate any time. And I think that comes from when a person with 5 years, so to speak, goes back out and has to start over. It's not about time this time. It's about quality. Yeah, partly, but you also are just a little embarrassed that you're starting over again and you don't want to announce it. But that is the path of humility. Exposing everything. I drank again. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Surprise, I drank again. Of course I drank again. I had only just taken a break from drinking. I didn't work on anything else. Drinking and getting a coin. Drinking or not drinking and getting a coin. Today I've raised the bar. I don't confuse myself with things that I should do, things that I get to do, and things that I have to do. I have to pay taxes. I get to take my kids to school. I think I've been sober long enough that I feel like I'm starting to just be sort of normal. Right? Normal. Normal's not bad. Well, I hope they don't close us down. But part of me wants to. Part of me wants to get closed down. This is the disease that I've caught from this. Is this, it's kind of just taking the piss right out of me, right? It's taking the fun out of everything. We used to have fun going to the grocery store. We used to have fun. I still have fun at work. I'm not gonna lie. Work's not so bad, but I have a little dread. I don't know. How's everybody else doing? Are you all going through the same kind of thing? I don't know. I hope not. Well, let's see what we can do. Let me read. Let me fuck this reading up. Maybe I should say that. Jesus. I do know how to read, by the way. It is funny, like reading the big book. There's some, the way things were written back in those days, I just get all fucked up over it. Here we go. November 17th, overcoming loneliness. Almost without exception, alcoholics are tortured by loneliness. Even before our drinking got bad and people began to cut us off, nearly all of us suffered the feeling that we didn't quite belong. I did. Absolutely. The agonies and the void that I often felt inside occur less and less frequently in my life today. I have learned to cope with solitude. It is only when I am alone and calm that I am able to communicate with God. For he cannot reach me when I am in turmoil. It is good to maintain contact with God at all times, but it is absolutely essential that when everything seems to go wrong, I maintain that contact through prayer and meditation. Yeah, I mean, isn't that self, right? Turmoil? What I'm not getting? What's not going my way? That's when you start having to do everything, right? But when you keep that communication with God, with your higher power, out of self, staying humble, you get to do things. It's a whole attitude adjustment. And honestly, it's voluntary. You make the choice. You make the choice. Yeah, there it is. All right, everybody, have a great day. Bye. I've recently been all of content and dreaming. Just ignore them and they are
as quiet where we are, quite alone.
Until the end of time.